Today we're going to learn about royalty, Jewish royalty, Torah royalty. The second reading of Parsha Shoftim, which speaks about police officers and judges, tells us, Ki Savai El Haaretz Asher Hashem Elekecha Neisen Lach. Chapter 17, verse 14, when you come to the land that the Lord your God gives you, V'yirishta, you'll inherit this land. V'yashavtaba, and you'll settle in it. V'yamarta, and then you will say, Asima alay melech, let me place upon myself a king. K'chol hagoyim asher sivi voisoy, like all of the other nations that surround me. V'yamarta asima alay melech, and you will say, let me place a king upon myself. It's very strange. It's a mitzvah. So tell the Jewish people, you should do such and such. It doesn't say that. It says you come to the land that God gives you, you inherit the land, ve'amarta, and you will say. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin that talks about this, and the opinion of Rabbi Nohiroi is that the Torah speaks here, b'gnai Yisrael. The Torah speaks here disparagingly about the Jewish people. And as if Moshe Rabbeinu was b'derech nevuah, prophetically, speaking about the future. You will say such and such, which was not the proper thing. They should not have said that. It's very difficult to accept that, because basically it means we had no freedom of choice left. Already said what we were going to say. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda argues Rabbi Nehroi, Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara just says there, it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah that you should appoint a king. Now, according to Rabbi Nehroi, comes the question, is it actually a mitzvah? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a mitzvah. The Ibn Ezra says, no, it's not a mitzvah. It's a reshus. You may do it. Obviously, if you do it, there's a total way to do it. But you don't have to have a king. Much like you don't have to slaughter an animal to eat meat. If you want to eat meat, you should slaughter an animal. You don't want to eat meat, don't slaughter an animal. Ramban disagrees, as does Rambam. And they say, no, it's a mitzvah, say. It is a positive mitzvah. Ramban in his commentary says, the Torah obligates us, telling us that after we come to Yerusha v'Yeshiva, after we inherit the land and we settle the land, which quite a long time. And then, v'yamarta, what should we do? So he says, then it is a mitzvah that we should come to the Kohenim and to the Levim, and to the Shefer, the judge, who will be at that time. And you should say, we want to place upon ourselves a king. Exactly what happened. We did come to Shmuel HaNavi, and we said, who was a Levi, and we said we want a king. But that didn't go over very well. He was not happy with us. So the Or HaChaim says, it's very simple. It depends why you ask for it. He says, if you ask for a melech l'siferes Yisrael, for the glory of the Jewish people, l'chvoidam, for their honor, then it's a mitzvah. However, if you seek a commander-in-chief, if all you're looking for is military prowess, if you're looking for somebody to lead the armies, even if it's just in self-defense, so then it's a chet and it's a gnai. It's a shame and that's a demerit, not appropriate. That's not who we are. We're a different kind of people. At any rate, the Torah does go on to say, after introducing this mitzvah in this very, very unusual way, verse 15, Soim tosim alecha melech. You will surely place upon yourself a king. Asher yivchar Hashem alekecha. This king will be the one that Hashem, the Lord God, will choose. And it'll be mikerev achecha, from amongst your brothers. Tosim alecha melech, that you should place upon yourself a king. Loisucha loses alecha ishnachri. You may not place upon yourself a foreign person. Ashaleachichuhu, who is not your brother. Once again, this verse demands an explanation. Soim tosim, a redundancy here. Your place, you will surely place. Interestingly, Rashi says nothing. Earlier, when it says, with regard to tzedakah, nasein titein, give you will give, or you will surely give, Rashi talks about it. Same tasim doesn't say anything. So the Gemara in Ksuba says, same tasim means that the king, once he's appointed, he cannot, so to speak, forgive his honor. It's called melech shemachal al kvedei, ein kvedei machal. The king who says, it's fine, you don't have to respect me and honor me, I'm a humble person. I don't require this. I do my job. I got it. I don't need all the glory. I don't need the pomp and circumstance. He says, it doesn't matter. Same tussim. You put him upon yourself again as a king. The redundancy is, even if the king is not a person who does well with honor, and some people don't do well with that, nonetheless, same tussim. You'll put him in that position. You'll treat him presidentially regardless. The Sfas Emes says like this. We know that everything is with Nevuah, and same tussim is a redundancy. You'll place upon yourself a king. He says this is an allusion to the future when the kingdom of Israel will divide. During the time in the post-Shlomo HaMelech era, during Shlomo HaMelech's son, we know that the kingdom of Israel divided. There was a northern kingdom and there was a southern kingdom. And so the southern kingdom had Yehuda. That was the king from David HaMelech. But the northern kingdom had a different king. And truth be told, it didn't have to all be bad. It became very bad. Yeravam ben Nevat was terribly guilty, but it didn't have to be that way. It could have been an acceptable thing. And that's why the Torah says, same tossim, that's why a double emphasis, you will surely place. Now the Torah says, mikerev achecha. The Sifri says, he cannot be from outside of Israel. He's got to be a local, an indigenous. The Balaturim says, the gematria of the word mikerev achecha is mishevet Yehuda, from the tribe of Yehuda. That's mikerev achecha. It's not any mikerev achecha, it's only from the tribe of Yehuda. The Rekeach says that those words are also the gematria of David ben Yishai, because a king really is supposed to be from the seed of David HaMelech.
What about Shaul? He wasn't
from Shaul was the first king, and he was not a permanent king. The royalty didn't remain with him. There is no lasting royalty for the Jewish people, no lasting royal family outside of the house of David HaMelech, through Shlomo. Now it says Lesuchal. Lesuchal literally translates as you can't. What do you mean you can't? You could, it's just not the right thing to do. So the Chizkuni comments and he says it doesn't mean you can't. You can do whatever you want. But that wouldn't be the right thing. He says, he doesn't say it's a physical impossibility. What he does say is, it's ein charashai. It's not appropriate. It's not the right thing to do. Abarbanel says, if they will try, the Jewish people, to appoint a Gentile over them as king, Hashem will make sure that it won't work. Abarbanel says, lesuchel is lesuchel. Yes, you can't. You can't. You can try. You're not going to be able to do this. It will not work. The Rebbe Levi Yitzchak Berditchever in the Sefer Kedushas Levi explains that since it says about a melech that a melech is mem lamed chaf is an acronym for moyach, which means the mind, lev the heart, and koved is the liver. These are the basic vital organs of a person. So he says that the melech is moyach lev koved shel Yisrael. His heart is the heart of all of Israel. His mind is the mind of all of Israel. His liver is the liver of all of Israel. In other words, he embodies and represents the entire nation. So Levi Yitzchak Berditchever says, Leisuchal, how could you appoint a person who's not from amongst you to be the Moyach Lev Kovach of Yisrael? Can't be. It doesn't make any sense. How could you do that? How could he be the Moyach of Kol Yisrael if he's not even a Yisrael? How could he be the Lev? How could he be the heart and mind of the entirety of the nation? He's not even a member of your nation. At any rate, there is a redundancy here. The Torah emphasizes this twice. There's an emphasis here. And the Torah tells us, you cannot place upon yourself somebody. It's mikerev achecha, number one, what you should do. And the Torah emphasizes what you should not do. What is this referring to? The Medrash Lekachtev says that even if the person converts to Judaism, which means he's actually a member of Am Yisrael, but nonetheless, it has to be a person who is indigenous to Am Yisrael, somebody who is not naturalized citizen, but somebody who was born. Interestingly, in the United States, you have similar laws about a person who can run for president. He has to be not a naturalized American, but somebody who was born in the United States, right? That's what Arnold Schwarzenegger gave up, even though he wanted to run for president. So that the law is taken from here. And the Ibn Ezra says, even though the Edomite, Edomi, is called your brother, and we have numerous genetic connections with some other nations, like, for example, the nations of Ammon and Moab, which are connected to the seed of Avram, or Lot. But the closest to us would be Edom, because that was Yaakov's twin brother, Esav, Esau's children. So he says, even though it's called Achicha, the Torah calls it Achicha, nonetheless, it's Ishnachri. That would be a stranger, and we may not have such a thing. Sadly and tragically, we did have an Edomite king. And his name was? Hordus, an English Herod. Herod was an Edomite. And that didn't go well for us, by the way. But we didn't, and truth be told, we didn't appoint him. He usurped the throne in a path of bloodshed.
Did we ever appoint anybody outside of the prophet's appointing?
Did we ever appoint? We did. We appointed Yeravam ben Nevat in the Northern Kingdom. We weren't supposed to do that.
He didn't do it himself. He didn't take it himself.
No king can be a king without the support. If you don't have political capital, you can't do it. Anyway, that's the story of the mitzvah of kings and appointing kings in snapshot form, in brief form, and the Torah goes on to speak about the various prohibitions that apply specifically to a king. So we're going to move over into the Biurim book, and the Rebbe is going to ask us a very, very simple and basic question. Page Resh Chav Beis. Yesh Lishel. There is a basic question that begs being asked right now. And that is, Madua, Ein HaKosov Mitzayim B'Mefurush, why does the verse not openly state or allude to the Derech Shebo Nasa Mini HaMelech? We talk about who you can appoint, who you can't appoint. We've discussed various reasons and understandings behind it. Why doesn't the Torah tell you clearly the methodology, the Torah methodology, by which a person becomes a king? Namely, Al Yedei Mishichase. A person becomes a king when the king is anointed as a king. B'shem en ha-mishcha, with a special anointing oil. Why is the king's anointment not being discussed here? Which is, k'nifsek b'halacha. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Melachim, right in the first chapter, in Halacha 7, he says that just like a kohen gadol, so too a melech has to be anointed with shem en ha-mishcha. Now, interestingly, when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, the Torah does tell you how he becomes a Kohen Gadol. The Torah says he's Nimshach. He's anointed with a special oil. So why is it that when it comes to being a Kohen Gadol, the Torah does tell you exactly how? And when it comes to being a Melech, the Torah doesn't. And if you will tell me that that's because not every Melech ended up being anointed, I will tell you that not every Kohen Gadol ended up being anointed. In fact, all of the Kohenim Gedolim in the second Beis HaMikdash, and there were many, not a single one of them was anointed, because we no longer had the anointing oil. So how did they become Kohenim? Rashi mentions earlier, by wearing the sacred vestments, the additional vestments, the Shemayna Begadim, the 8 special clothes, that's how he became the Kohen Gadol. But ideally, in a perfect world, how would a Kohen Gadol become a Kohen Gadol? He'll be anointed with the oil. And it pasuk says it fadish. The pasuk explicitly states, this is how a Kohen Gadol becomes a Kohen Gadol. Well, why wouldn't the pasuk explicitly state, here's how the king becomes a king. Here's how it happens. He gets anointed. Shaul HaMelech, he was anointed. David HaMelech was anointed. Even Shlomo HaMelech was anointed. And there, really, it would seem anointment wasn't necessary. That's another story, why he had to be anointed. In order to answer this question, the Rebbe says, let's ask another question. HaMelech HaRishon, the very first king, Shehisman al Bnei Yisrael Acha Meshe Rabbeinu. This is a trick question. Who's the very first king?
Yahushua.
That's correct. Most people wouldn't answer that. Why is he Yahushua? Kedivri HaRambam, how do we know this is halachic? Yahushua was actually a melech. Because the Rambam says, quote, and this is found in that same chapter that speaks about the anointment, 3 halachas earlier, the Rambam says, Ein ma'amidin melech betchilo alpi el alpi bezin shal shivim zekeinim v'alpi novi. You don't appoint a king only by dint of the Sanhedrin, the Bezdin HaGadol, the great Supreme Court for the Jewish people, and a prophet. There must be a prophet involved. That's how you appoint a king. So the king needs a Bezdin, and a Navi. And how would you know that? Where does the Torah say you need a Bezdin and a Navi? So there's two ways we can learn halacha. One way is what we're taught. Another way is what we were shown. What were we shown? Says the Rambam, Yehoshua. Yehoshua was appointed as a melech. And how was he appointed as a melech? Mino, Moshe Rabbeinu, Bez Dinei. Moshe Rabbeinu, and his Bez Dinei, appointed Yehoshua as the melech. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't use any precedence for. You can't expect that God will come and speak in a burning bush to every person who's supposed to be the melech. That's not going to work, even though Moshe Rabbeinu melech hayo. So Moshe Rabbeinu's appointment or anointment does not happen in a typical fashion, and you can't learn a lesson of halacha. But the Torah was given, and after the Torah was given, there was a king appointed. His name was Yehoshua. And yet, Ketzad Muna Yehoshua L'tafkedzeh, how was Yehoshua appointed? He was never anointed. He was only appointed. Kimesuper, because of, like it says it clearly in the Pasuk, and we read this earlier in the last book in Parshas Pinchas, that it says, Vayemer Hashem El Moshe, God said to Moshe. God's giving him the instructions. Kach lachos Yeshua, take Yeshua ben Nun Isha Sheruach, by the person who has spirit in him. V'samachta es yodei alav. You should lean your hands on him. What's that called? Leaning hands. Smicha. We call that ordination. So smicha, which we don't have smichas l'rabbanus anymore. Nobody really gets smicha. Nobody's gotten smicha since the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Really, smicha meant that the chacham, the sage of the Jewish people, would lean his hand on you as if to say, we lean on you now. You are now our support. You will be the one who will enable the Jewish people to move forward successfully and adjudicate the disputes and give halachic rulings. Today, you get a piece of paper. You don't get a formal, actual smicha. But once upon a time, Moshe Rabbeinu gave Yehoshua, the first one ever, smicha. He gave him real smicha. And in order to get smicha, incidentally, you have to be samuch ish mipi ish. From one person, who was nismach from another person, who got smicha all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he was ordained as the king. He was not even appointed. And it says, Vayas Moshe. Moshe did kicholach tasha tshiva Hashem Moshe. Vayikichas Yeshua. He did exactly what God told him. Of course, why wouldn't he? God told him what to do. It's what he did. Vayismach es yadav alav. He leaned upon him. Vayitzaveyu. And he instructed him. And he mentioned of oil. Moshe Rabbeinu does lots of anointing in his life. He anoints, he puts oil on every single portion of the Mishkan, on every single one of the artifacts the Kehilim use in the Mishkan. And yet, when it comes to most important anointment, you could argue, ever, which is his successor, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? What God tells him to do. He leans on him, he gives him smicha, he ordains him. He never uses the oil. So the obvious question is, why not?
Is this the same oil that would use for the Kohen Gadol?
Yeah, same oil. Very same oil as the Kohen Gadol. Hadava Ma'ir Tmiya. This is astonishing. Madurli Nimshach Yeshua Kshamana Mishcha. Why wasn't Yeshua not anointed, which is Kedin Mini Melech? Why wouldn't you do the halachic way, the way the Torah says to do it? A Hezbollah Lakach, the explanation in this, notes Behevdul Yosaidi, is rooted in a foundational distinction between the Malchus of Moshe and Yehoshua to the Malchus, to the royalty and sovereignty of Malchi Yisrael, of future Jewish kings, B'deris HaBoyim. In the generations to come. Malchusam shel Moshe v'Yehoshua lehoisa tafkidim ha'ikri v'hamerkazi. Moshe Rabbeinu was indeed a melech, but nobody ever calls him Moshe HaMelech. In fact, if you say Moshe HaMelech, nobody knows who you're talking about. Yehoshua also is not known as Yehoshua HaMelech. He's just known as Yehoshua ben Nun. Nobody calls him melech. B'reishu b'rishayna, first and foremost, heim hoyu nesiyov v'manhigov haruchniyim v'hatoironiyim. They were the spiritual leadership. They were the Torah leadership, first and foremost. Emphasis on foremost. The ilu hamalchus, the fact that they had sovereignty, the fact that they were royal, so to speak, in that they led the nation in that fashion too. Hanhagas ha'am b'tchum hagashmi v'achumri, the fact that they led the nation in its material needs as a king would do, ha'isa tfeila l'nisiusam haruchnius, that was secondary to their spiritual capacity, to their spiritual mandate. It flowed from it, but that's not what it was all about. Zehu amatzav haratzui v'hamushlam be'ini ha'Torah. If you want to know what a perfect picture looks like in the Torah's eyes, it's Yehoshua. That's the perfect picture. And actually, David HaMelech was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. He was the leader of the Sanhedrin. He was the Torah leader of the Jewish people. Amatzav shabayu hanagasam agashmias. That for the Jewish people, the physical material guidance or leadership and the spiritual leadership and guidance, einam nifrada, zumizu, are not distinct and apart. They're really supposed to be vested in the same hands. The same person who serves as the Torah leader, the Manega Teirani, the spiritual leader, Varuchni Shol Bnei Yisrael, Mechayin Gam Kemelech. That's the same person that should be driving the vehicle. He should be the one who is making the decisions as far as the material and the literal welfare of the Jewish people is. Kach, so that Hanhaga HaGashmias, that material guidance or leadership, Tfela is secondary, Lanhaga HaRuchnias. Who are we first and foremost? A people with a spiritual mandate. Yes, we have needs too, but those needs are secondary. Those needs should flow from our primary definition. What's our primary essence? That we're a Torah people. That's who we really are. Ella. So what happened? In later generations, after the time of Moshe and Yoshua, he spatzlu shnei atafkidim. It eventually forked. It divided. Shahamelech osak beikir anhagig ashmius. The king was consumed primarily and involved and engaged with the material leadership, being an actual king. Ve'ilu hanhaga haruchnius, but the spiritual leadership, no, it ended up in the hands of the Sanhedrin, it ended up in the hands of others. So at some point it divides, but that's not the way it was intended to be. If the world, or the picture of the Jewish world was perfect, the Torah leader would be the Melech Yisrael also. There would be one person in whom everything was vested. And that, says the Rebbe, is the reason Yehoshua was lo nimshach. That's why he wasn't anointed. Because hamshicha b'shemen, the anointing with oil, is a minu l'malchus. That's a methodology that's used for anointing. The anointing is a royal appointment. And as a royal appointment, the royalty, the mandate of the king, is the material welfare. V'ilu haminu l'anhoga teironis. However, when we talk about the spiritual Torah leadership, that comes through smicha. Smicha sabonim, that's the idea of being ordained as the next Torah leader. Since Yehoshua's primary focus of his leadership is his Torah leadership, his spiritual leadership, so because of that, v'ilu hamalchus agashmi, is the material side of Yehoshua's mandate, was secondary, tfeilala. His batza minuyiv shal Yeshua b'emzoi smicha. That's why Yehoshua was appointed how? By virtue of Torah leadership, which is smicha.
Why do you have to anoint the Kohen Gadol? His primary task is spiritual leadership.
That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. But the Kohen Gadol does not, you're asking, so why does the Kohen Gadol get anointed? The Kohen Gadol doesn't have another appointment other than spiritual. He doesn't have a material side. The Kohen Gadol's leadership is only spiritual. So the Meshicha that comes for the Kohen Gadol can only be for what the Kohen Gadol does. It's only the Melech who has a two-dimensional leadership. The Melech can have a spiritual side and a material side. So when we talk about the Kohen Gadol, it is only one side. So the Torah talks about the idea of the anointing oil. When it comes to the Melech, there's two sides. He's going to be the adjudicator of law, he's going to be the spiritual leader, and he's going to be the one who provides material leadership. So the oil, the anointment, ultimately focuses on the material leadership. The smicha, the ordination, focuses on the spiritual side. Now we can understand the reason that the Torah does not want to explicitly state that the king will be anointed. Shekein hamatzav haroi, the perfect situation, lechatchila, to begin with this, the Einia Torah, through the prism of the Torah's perspective, shahamelech ulechol haroish, that the king is first and foremost, manig ha-Torani shalom, the Torah leader. Uminuyev shomelech, and the appointment of the king in that fashion, mizbatza, happens through smicha, not through Mashiach, through ordination, through spiritual appointment, rather than the material oil anointment. And now we understand, not only the answer to our question, why the Torah doesn't speak about the concept of anointment open, now we also understand what real Jewish leadership is supposed to be, because the emphasis is on who we as a Jewish people are supposed to be. It's not that we should be chas v'shalom like all other nations. We are first and foremost a spiritual nation, a nation of Torah, a nation of Yiddishkeit. Aye, we need to be led. Good, that's secondary. But the main thing is not that we have self-determination as a people. The main thing is that we are Hashem's children, Hashem's special people, and we are the ones who are the carriers of light for the rest of the world. Zolshan Zayin de Geula. May we see Mashiach, who will be anointed, and that's a good question. Why will Mashiach be anointed? This will answer Bezrat Hashem on Tuesday night. We're going to break it over here.